Amen. Well, good morning, church. This lectern makes me feel so small sometimes. Well, I think it's important that we all keep a very open heart this morning. We're going to all be challenged. And when I speak from here, I want you to know that when I use the word you, perhaps, it means me as well. Because we're all in the same boat, you know, we're all in Christ and we're all under God's hand, aren't we? And we want to hear what he's got to say to us. Yes, this talk has been very strongly confirmed that, you know, sometimes you wonder, Lord, I want to give your word, I don't want to think something up in my head and then just say, oh, that sounds good, I'll give that. We don't want any of that, because we can say so many things in the flesh, meaning well, good intentions, but it's not specifically perhaps what God, the Holy Spirit's wanting to say to us all. So with no more further ado, the subject is God's rewards, our losses, or our losses. You choose, I choose. I'd like to start straight away with a scripture, Matthew 26:41. And it's, if you remember, it's in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Christ is being tested to the limit, as it were, under tremendous pressure, for he was going to be sent to trial, an unfair trial, and he was going to be crucified the next day for each one of us here this morning. In Matthew 26:41, he says, let me find this, I've got the right one, 26. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for one single hour. Then he says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think we know that, don't we? That our spirits are so willing to serve God, but often the flesh, too often the flesh, gets in the way. When he said, you men could not keep with me, watch with me for 1 hour, he followed it by saying this thing about not entering into temptation. What did he mean? The context here we see is men sleeping on the job, as it were, isn't it? But Christ, I believe, meant something far deeper than that. He's speaking to the church today to keep watching and praying. He's speaking to us not to enter into temptation of spiritual, coming under spiritual slumber or sleep. And some time ago, the Lord showed me personally, spoke to me personally about something. And I was questioning what was happening in the church and the various churches around today. And I saw this seemingly spirit of slumber that was on the church. Also, it seemed like there was a lot of apathy and lethargy. This is what God said to me personally. What was the temptation that Jesus was warning his disciples about? So I see it as spiritual slumber. If you are asleep, you can't serve God when you're asleep. You can only serve God when you're awake, obviously, physically. But he wants us to be aware that it's a spiritual battle that we're in. So we can allow ourselves to fall into spiritual slumber, which can also lead to spiritual lethargy and apathy. I think we would all agree with that if we're honest with ourselves. It's so easy to come under that. Satan has two main strategies against mankind generally, the way I see it, and I believe the way the Lord shows us through his word. The firstly is to do all he can do to stop everyone coming to hear the gospel, coming to Christ, and also, while he's at it, to kill, to steal, and to destroy from whoever, you know, or to whoever. So that's his aim, is firstly to stop us hearing the good news. Oh, right. Secondly, when he fails in stopping us coming to faith, and he's failed here, I hope, this morning. We're all in faith, I hope. He will do all he can to stop us becoming effective for God. Yes? We can't be effective for God if we're asleep, if we're apathetic, or if we've become lethargic spiritually. How are we effective for Christ? By walking the Spirit-filled life. There's so many scriptures that God tells us that we have to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went into the wilderness, he was led by the Spirit. But when he came out in the power of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Go on, be ye being filled." We can all have talk about being born again, and then we can talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, which I believe we all need because that's his power. But we are, it has been said from this lectern before, leaky vessels. We tend to leak, and we need to be topped up, don't we? We have to be aware of that. Also, to walk by the Spirit will always, always, always be in accordance with his word. If we don't read the word of God and we don't study the word of God and get it into our spirit, not necessarily our heads, although that has to go there, we'll not be effective for God. So what has this so far got to do with God's rewards or losses? Going on. I want us to look at the parable of the talents for a few minutes. I'm not going to read it all. I've put the points basically down. Most of us all know about the parable of the talents. The master entrusted his possessions to three servants. To each one he gave talents, gifts. In this case it was money, I believe. Each according to his ability. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, and the other one. You think, okay, right, that's, they're all different amounts here. Okay. Three different servants allotted three different amounts of talent, and all had three options what to do with their talents or their gifts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or are you hearing rather what God is saying? They could either invest it for a return for the master. That is their talent that they've been given, the five, the two, or the one. Or they could waste it on self or in some other way, bringing no return for the master, or bury or hide it away, acquiring no return for the master or themselves. This is God's word, and we've got to take this to heart. Three servants, two were faithful, one was not. Two invested wisely, one did nothing. who invested and returned 100% for the master. One was lazy and hid what the master had given him and returned only what he had been given. You might think, well, some people might have quite a few talents, you know, and I just feel like I haven't got any talent or gift to serve the master with. And there'll be some of you here that will be thinking that, I'm sure, because it's just natural to do that, perhaps. But what you're doing is calling God really a liar, because God has given to every human being, whether they're lost or saved, talents and gifts. How many gifts and talents do you see in the world? People that don't love Jesus. There's some amazing gifts and talents, isn't there? But that's going to profit them not a thing. They're going to lose all of that unless they come to Christ and give their all over to him and use their talents and gifts for him. So sad that one was lazy and hid what the master gave him, and there was nothing. He suffered loss, suffered great loss. Question here, are you beginning to see that there are rewards and losses for the investment of the gifts, abilities or talents that God gives us all? Every one of us has got gifts, and you've got to find out. If you don't know what they are, then you've got to seek God and get together with somebody to pray so that you can be used in this fellowship or wherever you go. 1 Peter 4, and there's lots of verses like this. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Would you agree that that's a reasonable thing to do? Don't hear any amens here. I might as well go. Oh, I'm just going to thank the Lord for that. Right, now then, the judgment of believers' works, those things that you do in your life since you've come to Christ, be very sure that this is judgment of your works, not judgment of the believer. We've already been judged, haven't we? Hallelujah. Everything that we've done wrong in our lives is gone. But our works will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, when you think of that, you go, wow, really? I'm going to actually stand before Christ? That each one may be rewarded or recompensed for his deeds in the body, that's why we're here on earth, according to what he has done, good or bad. Wow. And you start thinking, I've done a lot of bad things, you know, I'm sure. But perhaps I've done a few good things, and you start trying to justify yourself. And what's going to happen? I'm going to be standing before Christ and this judgment seat. And it is an awesome sort of thought, isn't it? Or a fearful in a way. The Bible does say, you know, it's a fearful thing to fall under the hand or into the hands of the living God. But we know that God doesn't condemn us. It's very important. The things that you've done, or sins of omission, if you like, since you became a Christian, no condemnation. Hallelujah. Wow, let's hear a hallelujah. Thank you. Right, okay. So what happens on this day of the judgment of believers' works? It's an awesome thought, really, isn't it? I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15. I will first have a little drink. Corinthians 3:10 to 15. Take to heart these words, church. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. That is the foundation, Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, whatever, each man's work or woman's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. Hallelujah. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. That's clear enough, isn't it? But he himself shall be saved. Very important that you understand that. Yet so as through fire. Fire, throughout the scriptures, you'll find has got a connection to judgment. Fire judges, or if you like, appraises a lot of different things in the scriptures. A big study in itself. But, you know, we as spiritual people, you know, the natural man, it says in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man perceives not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. In fact, he cannot understand anything spiritual. We are a privileged people because we have the Spirit of Christ within us. And it's that Spirit, it says, the spiritual man appraises or judges or discerns all things. But he himself is judged of no man. It's only God that will judge you. So we see that there is two realms here, isn't there? There's natural and spiritual. There is in everything. And we see that this is a solemn thing. Fire will test everything, good or bad, we've said. We've done in our lives, from the day we became a born again child of God until we are taken to be with him. We will see before us gold, silver, nuggets, along with some precious stones, as I've said, and possibly for some Christians, nothing at all. Da-da-da-dum. Now, no condemnation, remember, this is the amazing thing about this. Amazing thing. But you will suffer loss. But you'd still be joy-filled when you get to glory. Yes, you will. But do you realize, this is the most important thing, that God has set before us good works through his spirit, in Christ, that we may do them. He doesn't ask us to think up good ideas or whatever, you know, those sort of things, though they might seem good or whatever. He wants us to listen to what he's saying. Okay, it's not always easy sometimes, but we can hear what God says to us because he's given us a spirit, hasn't he? And this is our God receptor. The lost haven't got that. What a privileged people we are, aren't we? They cannot hear a word from God, generally speaking. It's not to say that God can't speak to them and open their eyes, because he does. Otherwise, they would never come to know him. So going on then, it's sad, isn't it? Sadly, these are Christians that choose to live a carnal, fleshly life. And there's plenty in Corinthians about the carnal Christian. And, you know, we can all be carnal and fleshly sometimes. But, you know, through carnality and fleshly living to our own understanding, thinking about things ourselves. What am I going to do today? What, you know, whatever. We think we don't give God a chance. We don't give the Holy Spirit a chance to lead us because we're so busy with our lives. Would you say, yes, that's true a lot of the time? Come on now, church, come on. We all have a daily choice to choose whether we're going to get the rewards that God wants to give us. And he wants to give us them. And he's got them laid out already for us. Or we're going to suffer loss. We just will not get what God wants us to have. Any loving father or parents that want to give their children good gifts. We know the scripture, don't we? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that love him? And we can move by the Holy Spirit. So then, what are the keys to receiving God's rewards? I think possibly it's probably obvious to a lot of us. But as I study this, basically this verse, which I've already quoted, is an absolutely amazing verse. You know, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What for? For good works, which God has prepared, not what you're preparing to do for God. That's the key. This is the thing which can steal from us the rewards that God wants to give us. Well, I think I'll do this for God today. I don't feel I've done this for God. I feel that I'm not fulfilling what God wants me to do in my life. I'm frustrated, and I think what I'll do is I'll go into town and tell somebody about Jesus. Give me the boldness, Lord, just to do that. Now, that can either be in the spirit or in the flesh. If it's in the flesh, you'll get nothing for that. A lot of people would disagree with that, but the scriptures say it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh avails. Wow, you've got it, folks. Yeah. How do we walk in them then? That's in the good works. There's only really one way. By the Spirit. And people say, well, how do you do that? A lot of Christians get really uptight about this. You know, I can only live my life the way I feel that I've got to live my life. I don't know all about this walking by the Spirit, you know. But walking by the Spirit is really quite simple. I haven't got the answers to everything, but I know that that is the answer to everything. Walking by the Spirit is not walking by the flesh. Well, brilliant, Colin. Brilliant deduction. No, walking by the Spirit is when you have that, you see somebody, right, and you've got maybe a little niggle towards them about something. Ross has been saying, you see somebody and you go, oh, I hate that person. Well, I hope you don't do that now, but, you know, as soon as that rises up, you can put it to death like that. Instantly, you can put it to death. You know by your spirit that you don't enter into judgment, criticism, judgment, or jealousy, or these. As soon as you feel the old flesh rising, deal with it straight away. And we can do that by the power of the Spirit that lives within us. Walking by the Spirit is relatively easy. Why would God make it hard? I mean, come on, why would he make it hard? That is the answer to fulfilling Ephesians 2:10 for all the things that God wants us to do in his will, in his perfect will. If we slip out of that and start doing things and we, you know, get it wrong, no condemnation, hallelujah. It'll always be the same. But we have to face the fact that we've lost something. But Jesus picks this up again, doesn't he? Say, right, come on, let's walk on further. But you notice it's always, walking by the Spirit is always by faith. You know, our lives are a walk of faith, aren't they? Because we know that God is with us. We know that in the end, he's going to take us to be with himself. But we must walk by faith, for without faith, it's impossible to... Oh, you Bible students are so good. You've got it, folks. Faith is a walk, isn't it? We can talk all day about how you walk by faith, but it's walking by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the deeds of the flesh or the lusts of the flesh. God wants us to enjoy things in our body. Just ask Stephen and me about food. We just love to enjoy food, and we appreciate good food and wine as well, a little, for your health's sake. But it's walking by the Spirit to receive God's rewards. God longs to reward us, and not for us to suffer any loss at all. Would you agree with that, folks? What I want to say now, in finishing, I've got through it a lot quicker than I thought I would, but we might think, when we're standing there before the judgment, before judgment time, you know, that day when everything's going to be revealed by fire, you know, I don't believe you'd be knocking your knees. You know, I believe you'll be there and you will see and you will be amazed at how God's graciousness on our lives since we became a Christian has brought us through, and you will be amazed at probably the more nuggets of gold and silver and precious stones that you'll have on that foundation where this fire comes. You won't see any of the wood, straw, hay or stubble, because it'll be gone. But what we want to see is precious stones, precious metal, according to God's word. Now, what are those, perhaps? You know, we can, I've thought a little bit about this, and your own minds can run wild on this. But we don't know, do we? Or we can't know, because it's not revealed, those things that God has prepared for us that love him. We can't know those rewards, actually, that we've earned, that we've probably, most of us, have actually forgotten about, things that we've done in the Spirit. I wanted to say this. You remember the Pharisees when they came to Jesus and they were testing him as they usually do. But it's recorded, isn't it, that the Pharisees, in both their fasting, their prayer, and what was the other one? Forgotten. But then you had the prayers and the fasting and the giving, yeah. How they loved to do it before men, yeah? What was Jesus' reply to that, to each one of those? You've got a reward coming. You've got it now. The praise of men. The praise of men is worth nothing, absolutely nothing, before we came to Christ and after we come to Christ, really. I believe that personally. You can disagree with me, that's all right. But perhaps a gold nugget is that day that you wanted to do something specific, you had it planned, and then somebody came to you and said, I've got a great need. And you're thinking, and then you go and do it, moaning in your heart about it. You won't get any reward for that, I don't believe. But if you deal with the flesh immediately, it's not right, I'll go, Lord, for you. Gold nugget. silver nugget, perhaps a precious stone, for working and listening to God. We're led by the Spirit and we're shown things. Every one of us is shown things. And we know that we know when God's spoken to us, don't we? There's been times when we know and we've not done it. We've said, I should have done that. I know. It's been confirmed that it was, you know. Does God condemn us? No. Hallelujah. But we've lost out. So God's rewards, the precious, the nuggets, the precious stones, we will get them. But, you know, God wants us to have more. Are you greedy for more? No. I was thinking a lot on this about rewards, and I'll be absolutely honest with you, for me, I can't ever think of a time when I've done something that must have been in the Spirit or whatever, walking by the Spirit, and I've thought, I'm going to get a reward for that. Great. I'm going to get a golden. I've never ever thought of that. And you know, there's a scripture where Jesus says, and I love this scripture, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Right? And you know, when you're walking with God in the Spirit, doing what he wants you to do, you'll do things and you won't even remember. Or you forget. Did I do that? Somebody comes and reminds you, thank you very much for that. What? I mean, my memory's not that brilliant at the moment, but don't, you know, when we walk by faith and walk in the Spirit, you won't know what your left hand is doing most of the time. Don't say that you never will, but I think that's a really good scripture, that, you know, when you think about it, isn't it? So just in finishing, I'd like us to bow our heads, and we're going to pray now, and I think it would be good and right to come before the Lord, each one of us, and be honest with him. Let's just have a few moments in prayer. Father, you are aware of our weakness, Lord, but you are also aware of the power that is in your Spirit, Lord, that you have put within us. Lord, we thank you for reminding us, Lord, that we can fall under the spirit of spiritual slumber and lethargy and apathy. These spirits walk hand in hand. And we would pray against every demonic power of spiritual slumber over this church, over each life here, Lord. And we would break its power. And we pray that we would awake. We know that scripture, awake, O sleeper, from your rise from the dead, and let the light of Christ shine upon you. Father, we want to be awake for you. We want to be serving you. We want to be walking by your Spirit, not getting into bondage about whether or not I've done it enough today or whatever, Lord, but that you just simply want a desired heart before you that is willing to do that, Lord, to walk with you each day in some measure. So, Father, we pray that as we confess those things, Lord, that we have not always done before you, Lord, that you will bring us again to that place of realization that it's important to you, Lord, above anything else, that we take on the works of God, that we might be rewarded, that you have these things laid up for us already, Lord. Father, we thank you for your grace and your long-suffering with us as individuals and the church. And we pray that we will be obedient, Lord, to this word that you've very clearly clearly given to me to share. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.